This morning, very briefly, I want to talk a little bit about joy. So far this Advent season, we have talked about the human search for hope, and we've talked about the human search for peace, and those can be really challenging things to identify in our world today. There doesn't seem to necessarily be a lot of hope, and sometimes peace eludes us, even the temporary peace that we sometimes look for. But joy is one of those things that most of us, most people, seem to be able to land on fairly easily at this time of year. Even if briefly, but joy seems to be something we can all find without really looking at it, looking for it too closely. But what is that joy? And how do we really live with it? How do we find it? And how do we really live with it? I came across this rather interesting definition in a book that I was reading by a fellow named Sherwood Wirt. And he writes this: what is joy? It is the enjoyment of God and the good things that come from the hand of God. If our new freedom in Christ is the piece of angel food cake, joy is the frosting. If the Bible gives us the wonderful words of life, joy supplies the music. If the way to heaven turns out to be an arduous, steep climb, joy rigs up the chairlift. I just had to pause as I read that definition. I thought, what a great way to have fun with joy. Joy is the icing on the cake, the lift when you need it when things are struggling. Joy is the music to the words that we read. Joy is the completion of something already good. What a great definition. So where do we find joy? Joy is all around us. Joy is in the smile and in the laughter of children. It is in the proud expression of a parent or a grandparent watching their child succeed at something, watching their children share in enjoyment the story of Christmas. It is a kind word. It is in a kind word or a kind deed. Joy is found in the sharing of a good memory and in the making of new ones. Joy is all around us. Joy comes from God and comes from knowing God. And that's why I pulled that passage from Nehemiah out. And I want us to look at that. If you look at that passage in Nehemiah, as I was reading as part of a larger narrative, but in that section, what we're reading, Israel has just been subject to a massively long sermon. Now, many of you would think, you know, if the pastor is talking for longer than half an hour, this is not a joyful occasion. Ezra and the priests read from the book of the law, and at every point they stopped to explain what it meant. And this went on and on and on and on. And the people sitting and listening were so impacted by what they heard, their only response was to weep. And this is not the tears of doom. This is not the tears of, oh my goodness, I'm such a horrible person, how can I ever survive, and I'm going to just cry myself because of this. This is a profound touch on their lives from hearing God's word, reading God's word, and it reaches beyond their ears, beyond their audio canals, and down into the soul and depths of their being. And their only response from hearing that was to weep, to express themselves in such joy that tears flowed down from their eyes. And Nehemiah and the leaders looked at that and they said, this is joy, but people, don't weep, do not mourn, do not be sad for this. Go and celebrate in joy, because that joy, folks, is your strength. Because that joy comes from God. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful section of scripture. And without getting into a whole other sermon that we could get into, I do want to ask you, when was the last time that in reading of Scripture, either by yourself or someone else reading it to you, that you were so moved in the depth of your being that you wept. When was the last time? So how do we truly live in this state of found joy? Just a couple points that I want to draw for us here. The first thing that I want to say is if we're going to truly live in a space of joy, do not sabotage it. How do you sabotage joy? Have you ever thought about that? Have you sabotaged your own joy sometimes? Sometimes it's easy to discount our joy because we don't think we deserve it. I don't deserve to be joyful because maybe I've done things that I'm not proud of. Or because I look across and see other people who are maybe not joyful. They're not enjoying something. There's nothing for them to rejoice in. So maybe I shouldn't because others, or maybe because I don't deserve it. That's how we sabotage our joy. Do not sabotage it in that way. We look for ways to deflect it, to avoid it, to discount it, or just plain ignore it. Have you ever tried, maybe I shouldn't be so joyful. Maybe what this is isn't really something that I should be joyful about. And so we downplay that. Or perhaps, maybe, we just internalize it. Right? Maybe we just keep it quiet inside because I don't want to be too joyful because maybe someone else is struggling and I don't want to burden them with that. No. Your joy shared out will bring joy to others who need that. Don't sabotage your joy. Accept it. Embrace it. Celebrate it. Share your joy. Rejoice. What a great joy words all through here, isn't it? In the gift that God has given and is giving and will give. The second thing that I want to just draw here is to express it in celebration. How do you express joy in celebration? How many, when you're reading through the Psalms, think that the Psalms are really just a bunch of collection of people writing, of complaining about how hard things are? Do you read that when you read the Psalms? Some people that I've read was talking about, that's how they started out. They'd open up the book of Psalms and say, man, they've got dour and there's dire and there's suffering and there's pain and there's oh no and there's bad and stuff. And the majority of what jumps out of the page in the Psalms is this life is really hard and I need help out of it sort of mentality. But the Psalms are an expression of joy. An expression of getting to joy and coming back out of that again. In poem, in poetry, and in song. There's an example, 150 of them, of joy expressed in celebration. Often when we come to Christmas in the evangelical church, we kind of skip over the Magnificat a little bit. Mary's song. Maybe it puts a little too much emphasis on Mary over Jesus. And we do a disservice to Scripture. But here's this young woman who, with no other reason except it pleased God to use her in His grand story, suddenly comes to the center of the stage. And she cannot share this joy that she has with anyone because her community is going to kick her out. Her husband-to-be is already struggling with this life that she is carrying that is not her, not his, it is God's. And so she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And in coming to visit her cousin Elizabeth, while she's still far off, Elizabeth's baby jumps for joy in the womb. And Elizabeth says, "Who are you? You are so blessed. Because of what God is doing for you." And Mary's response is to sing a song of joy. "My soul magnifies the Lord." What a joyful song. What a joyful celebration. She found joy and she expressed it in a beautiful, beautiful way. The gift of joy is such a wonderful thing. It lifts our spirits when they are down. It breaks down barriers and smashes through the walls of emotional self-defense. It is meant to be shared. It is meant to be given thanks to God for. Expressing our joy and thanksgiving to God is a beautiful song in His ears. What is your song of joy this Advent season? And will you be brave enough and willing enough to sing that out and share it with those around you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for the joy that you have given to us. Thank you for the joy in the little things, and thank you for joy in the big things. And Lord, I pray that you would help me and you would help us to embrace that, to rejoice in you and to share that joy with others. Trusting and knowing that they will share their joy with us and it will grow. Thank you for bringing us joy. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen.